At this point, I want to turn in our Bibles, please, to the Old Testament Scriptures, and to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, you'll find it there, 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, I want to begin to read from verse number 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, reading together from verse number 1, please. 1 Chronicles 4, verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. The sons of Judah, Pharez, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal, and Reiah, the son of Shobal, begat Jahath, and Jahath begat Ahumai, and Lahad. These are the families of the Zorathites. And these were of the father of Etam, Jezreel, and Ishma, and Idbash. And the name of their sister was Hazelelponai. And Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha. These are the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Naara. And Naara bare him Ahuzam and Hefer and Temeni and Hahashtari. These were the sons of Naara. And the sons of Hela were Zereth and Jezoar and Ephnan. And Koz begat Anub and Zobiba and the families of Aharel, the son of Haram. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Having read the scriptures, let's just unite our hearts together, please, in one moment's prayer, just before we come to the word of God for today. And just where you are in your home, you just bow your head there on the sofa or the chair at the fire. You bow your head and your heart before heaven and you say, Lord, speak to me. Take the words of the psalmist upon your heart and say, open my eyes, Lord, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Just pray to be closed in with God. Let's unite our hearts together. Let us all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and again we come before the throne of grace and of mercy, and we thank thee for the merits of his blood that brings us nigh. And O God, we thank thee for the word of God in our own mother tongue. We thank thee for the Bible, the scriptures of truth, these holy oracles. And O God, as we turn to them now, fully aware that vain is the help of man, we do pray, O God, that thou would be pleased to take thine own truth and apply it to every heart. Lord, I confess before heaven that my complete inadequacy and unworthiness to deal with what is before me now in this broadcast. Empty me now of self and sin. Forgive my sins, for they are many. Wash me now in the blood of Christ, and fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant that divine anointing, grant that holy baptism, which the Lord alone does give, the baptism to preach, the baptism to hear the word with profit. Answer prayer now. Glorify Jesus Christ. Let his name be exalted, worshipped, and praised. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It is verse number 10 that I really want to look at today with you in this service. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, calling upon the Lord in the scripture is first mentioned in the book of Genesis, chapter 4 and verse 26. And there we read, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now at this moment, I do want you to turn to Genesis 4 with me, please, and look with me there, Genesis 4, verse number 26. Because it's very important that we see the setting of this first time in the Bible that we read these words, men calling upon the Lord. Look with me there at verse number 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. There's the first mention, the first setting of this reference to men calling upon the name of the Lord. I'm sure you're aware the setting in Genesis 4 is after the death of Abel by the wicked Cain. But verse 25 of Genesis 4 reads, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, she have appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. And then we go into verse 26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. The name Enos is very interesting. It means mortal. The name's a revelation in itself. The people being reminded of man's mortality. And Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, said in this portion in Genesis, the worshippers of God, with this thought of men beginning to call upon the name of the Lord, the worshippers of God began to stir up themselves to do more in religion than they had done since the defection of Cain. There was a stirring among the people. Now men began not only to worship God in their closets and families, but also in public assemblies. It was, as it were, a new beginning for them. They began with new zeal to seek the Lord afresh. These people here in Genesis 4, they had seen and witnessed the awful outworking of the fall of man, of sin. They had witnessed it in the death of Abel. And hence Seth names his son, as we have seen, Enos, which I said means mortal. And then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. In light of this understanding that man is mortal, that man won't live forever, the Bible tells us here in Genesis 4:26, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now go back to 1 Chronicles 4 where we read today. And look with me there at verse number 9, because we're looking at this man Jabez and his prayer. 1 Chronicles 4 verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. If you have a margin, you will see the name Jabez means sorrowful. There's another name, another meaning, a revelation in its own. There in the name Jabez, we see another result of the fall of man. Sorrow and childbearing, sorrow bringing forth children. But a name now that Jabez is given that would remind Jabez all his days that he had been born in sorrow, that he was mortal, that he wouldn't live forever this side of eternity. And Jabez realizing these truths, as we all need to realize them, but Jabez realizing these truths, that if his days of his pilgrimage are to tell for God, there are certain things he needs. And I believe that many of those things are found in the prayer which Jabez prays here recorded in verse number 10, which is going to be our study this morning, verse 10 of 1 Chronicles 4. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. I want to take this verse 10, and I want to speak in a message that I've entitled, The Prayer of Jabez, A Prayer God Answered. The Prayer of Jabez, A Prayer God Answers. The first thing I want to show you about this prayer is the thinking behind the prayer. Jabez knew what he needed, only God could give him. Now, so often when we go to prayer, we don't sometimes always think about what we're going to say. That's a mistake. We're not to come before the Lord without thought. It's believed at this moment in Jabez's life that he's a young adult, starting out in life, maybe in his own. He's growing up, and the Lord has led him to realize that if he's ever to fulfill his purpose in life and glorify God, then there are certain things that he needs, which brings Jabez to this point. Jabez realizes, when you see the prayer, Jabez realizes if he's to live a life which will tell for God, what he needs only God can give him. And therefore, the thought is of this prayer that Jabez knew that by prayer, he only and he alone could receive the blessings that he needs. And therefore, that's why verse 10 begins, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Those words, or the word called, it's a verb, speaks of activity. Jabez's voice is heard in heaven this day. Jabez prays, he calls upon the God of Israel. And friend, there it is. Jabez stirs himself to seek from God what he needs to live for God. Jabez called on the God of Israel. He realizes if his life is to tell for God, and there's not a believer on earth, there's not a believer listening to this message who doesn't long that their life will tell for God, who doesn't long to be used by God. Jabez is the same, and he realizes there's certain blessings he needs, and they're found here in verse 10. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, there's the thinking behind the prayer. Second thing I want to show you is the necessary blessings sought in the prayer. The necessary blessings sought in the prayer. Anything that Jabez prayed, dear people, in this prayer is absolutely essential to the life of a believer. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, and here's where he begins, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me." Now look at the word "oh." Don't just pass over that little word. It's exclamation. It's a revelation of the longing in his soul. It's like you saying, "Oh God, help me. Oh Lord, bless me." It's there to give us and show us the desire of this man before God. He longs for blessing. "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." The word "bless," it's the Hebrew word barak. It was used many times throughout the Old Testament scriptures. It was used concerning Noah. Genesis 9, verse 1, we'll not turn to him. I'll give you the references. "And God blessed Noah and his sons." It's used in Genesis 12, verse 2, concerning Abram, where God said of Abram, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee." It's used in Genesis 26, verse number 12, concerning Isaac. "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." And it's used of Jacob, these patriarchs. Jacob, in Genesis 48, verse 3, when he testifies near the end of his life, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me." And I am saying here, Jabez knew that the blessing he longed for from God, others had received it. He knew that the blessing that he longed for had made all the difference in the lives of Abram and Isaac and Jacob. The blessing of God had changed Jacob. You think of Jacob a moment. Cast your mind to Genesis. It was the blessing of God that night at Peniel that changed Jacob from being a schemer and a supplanter, into a man of God who could be trusted. It was the blessing of heaven that changed his walk forever. That night he got alone with God. That night he told his family to go on over the brook. And Jacob was left alone. And you know the story. A man wrestled with him to the breaking of the day. But Jacob received the blessing of God. And dear people, I say to you today, when you think about this, it's today's need. It's the need of the preacher standing with us broadcast. It's the need of every brother and sister. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Jabez here, he's not asking for some new thing. He's asking for the blessing of heaven He's asking for a life-changing moment. I address you today in the comfort of your living room or wherever you're sitting, listening to this broadcast. Jabez is praying for a life-changing moment. The blessing of God Almighty to come upon him. I say to you, dear brother, sister, watching this broadcast, in these days when many of the Lord's people are in isolation in the home because of this awful virus, I say to you, here's a life-changing moment. It was life-changing for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jabez, as we're going to see. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. The necessary blessings sought for. The necessary blessings were also specific, particular, in that he names them. Look at verse 10 again with me of 1 Chronicles 4. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast. Let's just pause with enlarge my coast. He's praying for the enlargement of his usefulness. He's praying for doors of opportunity. Jabez longs to be useful for God. Enlarge my coast. It literally means take the boundaries wider. And we could pray that. Every member of Lisburn and Hillsborough could take that prayer upon their souls over this period of isolation and say, Lord, when the doors of Hillsborough open again, when the doors of Lisburn open again, take the boundaries wider. Let this congregation, let this church, let the messages preached, let them go out into the community. Lord, enlarge your coast. But let me give you another thought about what I feel was in Jabez's mind when he said, enlarge my coast. The thought was to give them land that at that moment the enemy possessed. The word enlarge, it means increase. Multiply. It's the Hebrew word rabbah. The word was used of Abram. Genesis 22:17, that time when Abram was prepared to sacrifice Isaac. And the Lord told him, because you have done this, in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. The same word translated there, multiplying, enlarge, increase. Jabez is looking inroads into the kingdoms of darkness. Israel in those days were surrounded by dark and wicked nations. Nations which were under the control of darkness. And when Jabez prays, Lord, enlarge my coast and bless me, he's saying, Lord, give inroads into those kingdoms. Lord, break through, break the resistance. Let them be brought under the dominion and rule of our Lord. That's what happened in Joshua's day at Jericho. And those days when they stood outside the city that God had promised to give them. And the Bible tells us there in Joshua 6, none come out and none come in. But when the Lord came as captain of the Lord's host, you can read about it later, Joshua 6 and 7. When the Lord came to that situation, their coasts were enlarged. Jericho was given over. Or think of those words in Revelation 11. When that great voice from heaven said, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Dear people, understand this. We're in isolation. I'm preaching here to empty chairs. But the word of God is going forth today. The coasts of the church are being enlarged. Christ is saving his people. The Holy Ghost is applying the truth. The word of God is not bound. And in these days when the church is closed and you can't get here, you pray, Lord, take the word out of these pulpits and enlarge our coasts. Lord, make the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of the Lord and of his Christ. Oh, dear people, see this, the church doors may be closed, but the word of God's not bound. The word of God is not bound. Lords and larger coasts, borders, that's what it means. Larger coasts. Dear brother, sister, the day you were saved, the coasts of the church were enlarged. You were brought in to the church. You were brought into the banqueting house. God's banner over you was love. You were brought out of the kingdom of darkness. You were brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Paul reminded the church in Colossae when he said to them that the Lord had translated them from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And Jabez in praying, these thousands of years ago, he's praying for the blessing of God, but he's praying for the enlargement of the coast, for the going out of the borders, that others would be brought into the banqueting house, into the kingdom of God and of grace. But let's go on with see what else he prayed for. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me." Let's just pause with that one. "And that thine hand might be with me." What a prayer. Dear believer, if the Lord's hand is with you, then the Lord is with you. The Lord would be standing right beside you. If I was to say there were people sitting all in front of me, of course, which there's not. But if there were, and I was to leave behind this pulpit and go down and set my hand on a brother or sister sitting listening to this sermon in different circumstances, for me to put my hand on them, I would be right beside them. And that's what Jabez is praying. Lord, in verse 10, "And that thine hand might be with me." Jabez is longing for the experience of walking with God, just as it were the Lord was right beside him, because the hand of the Lord would control him. Controlling him. I say, believer, make this your prayer. The Lord would be right beside him. The Lord would defend him. Jabez knew the world he was born into, a fallen world, many enemies. The church still has them. But Jabez prays that the hand of God will be upon him. And dear brother, sister, think about that. The hand of God controlling us. The hand of God defending us against danger seen and unseen. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 4 a moment, please, in your Bible. 2 Timothy 4, and look with me there. 2 Timothy 4, here's Paul writing to young Timothy. Paul, near the end of his life, the great missionary of the cross, almost home to glory. But he's remarking to Timothy on a day in his life that nobody stood with him in his ministry. And verse 16 of 2 Timothy 4 says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." The Lord stood with him. For the sake of the preaching, for the sake of the gospel. And he was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, a time of great danger in Paul's life, in Paul's ministry. But it was the hand of God on him. It was the Lord being with Paul that delivered him, that kept his ministry going, that kept him preaching, and all the attempts of the lion, whatever's in view, were thwarted. Because the Lord stood with him. Nobody else stood with him, but the Lord stood with him. It was the Lord being with Paul that strengthened him and delivered him. And Jabez, going back to 1 Chronicles 4, prays, "Lord, just let your hand be with me. Just let your hand be upon me. That way you'll be with me." Think of the hand. We use our hands to work. "Let your hand be with me," Jabez says, "working with me." I say that's the experience we want in churches. Like Mark 16, the Lord working with them. They went everywhere preaching, the Lord working with them. But let me say something else about the hand of the Lord upon you or with you. the Lord's hand would lead and guide. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 in your Bible. It's a chapter that the Lord's people love, and for very good reasons for some of the verses in it. But Isaiah 41, please, I want you to look there at verse number 13. Isaiah 41, verse number 13. Look with me there. Here's the Lord giving Isaiah a word. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. The same thought again that the Lord's going to be just right there with Isaiah. Now, maybe I speak to one this morning. You're listening to this broadcast, and you're thinking ahead in your life, and there's a situation coming up, and you're concerned about it, and you're anxious about it. Here's a word from the Lord. Isaiah 41, 13. For I, the Lord, thy God, I'm your God, I'm your Savior, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Now, let me say this. Of course, you already know it, but let me say it. The Lord is not going to literally hold Isaiah's hand physically. So what's the thought? It's the same thought as we saw with Jabez. The Lord's going to just be there. Isaiah's going to enjoy the Lord's presence through the difficulties. It's just going to be as if the Lord's right beside him. I'll hold thy right hand. Or as verse 10 says of Isaiah 41, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The Lord's saying, brother, sister, it won't overcome you. I'll strengthen you. I'll uphold ye. My arms are underneath. That great verse in Deuteronomy, underneath and round about are the everlasting arms underneath. And dear brother, sister, understand this. A believer can never fall further than into the everlasting arms. Because when we fall, we only fall as far as those arms. And the Lord catches us, and he upholds us, and he strengthens us. What a prayer this young man prays. Come back to 1 Chronicles 4, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me. The hand might be with me. And our thought of the hand very quickly before I leave that point. Many times in Scripture, the hand of God is symbolic of the Holy Ghost. Lord, anoint me, you could pray. Lord, fill me. But then Jabez prays something else. Let thy hand be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Jabez realizes, when he prays at the end of this prayer, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me, Jabez realizes he's still just a man. He's a sinner saved. And he realizes that he's very capable, like the rest of us, of falling into sin, grieving the Lord, and causing the Lord to depart, and grieving himself by the Lord departing. And therefore he prays that he would be kept from such behavior as would be of such a grief to his soul, that the enemy wouldn't overcome him, that he wouldn't cause the Lord to depart for a season. Again, we don't want that to happen. And he incorporates this into the prayer, keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And I say, go forward about 1,500 years to the days of our Lord in Matthew chapter 6, when he taught the disciples, when that day when they asked him how to teach them to pray. And the Lord, in teaching them to pray, said, pray this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The same thought. Lord, don't let us be overcome. You know what? It's a good prayer in these days. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, especially in these days of isolation. Lord, don't let us fall into temptation when we have time on our hands. The necessary blessings prayed for. Jabez knew what he needed. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. The blessings were particular. The blessings were also personal. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Brother, sister, never be embarrassed to say, Lord, bless me. Never be embarrassed to say, Lord, I need you. I want you. I want you to bless me. These blessings, this blessing was personal. Abram's was Abraham's. Jacob's was Jacob's. Isaac's blessings was Isaac's blessing. Past generations' blessings were theirs. They prayed for them. They received them. But we need to pray and receive our own. Jabez knew he couldn't live on the blessings of others. He needed his own. But he knew that God had blessed others, and therefore he could be blessed also. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. I say to you, it's not wrong to say, Lord, bless me. Grant me your blessing. I say, Jabez isn't praying for some new thing. He's praying for the blessing of God, which the church had known in days gone by. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Let me just pause here a moment. Could I be speaking to a backslider sitting in your living room, your feet up on the couch? And you know you've had better days spiritually. Remember what Samson prayed when he fell in the dungeon, Judges 16. He prayed personally. He says, Oh Lord God, remember me. Strengthen me. He's powerless. He's been overcome. But he knew that God was still his God. And brother, sister, as you sit in your home, take the prayer. Lord, remember me. Strengthen me. I'm your child still. You still love me. My love has grown cold, but you still love me. Strengthen me. Remember me. Personal blessing. Jabez says, Oh, that thou would bless me. Present blessing also. Oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Past blessings are to be rejoiced at. Past blessings are to be thought of with thankfulness to God, and in prayer many times God is to be thanked for past blessings. But let me say something, past blessings are past. We need present blessings. We need God to visit us now. We need God to come to my heart, to our hearts, to our country. A pressing moment. We need to maybe even come back to Samson. Just go to Judges, please. Judges 16. We'll soon be closed. Judges 16. Look with me there at verse 28. Samson is longing for God to do something quickly. Judges 16, verse 28, Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only once, this once, O God, but look at this, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes, at once, Lord. Because Samson knows, dear brother and sister, that his opportunity for a victory here against the Philistines is passing. And he says, at once, strengthen me. See, whereas Samson, he's in the temple of Dagon. They brought him there to make sport of him. The Philistines are all gathered, but Samson knows very soon the Philistines are going to go home. And the opportunity's passed. But let me say this. every believer, this preacher. The Lord tells us, not only for Samson, but in Ezra, the book of Ezra, chapter 9, verse 8, we're reminded, don't turn to it, Ezra 9, verse 8, we're reminded that for a little moment, grace has been given us. Our little moment on the world stage, our little moment, as it were, before the curtain descends in our little existence, grace has been given to live for God with all its difficulties, with all its discouragements, but nonetheless, grace has been given. And I say, brother, sister, make your prayer personal and make it present. Lord, bless me and bless me now. Use me now. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Climax. And God granted him that which he requested. It's just a glorious statement. All that we have looked at and only touched the surface of it, God granted it to him. Now, I don't know what effect it had on Jabez, but I'll find out in glory what it meant for Jabez's life after this life-changing moment. Because the prayer was prayed and we're given it. And the Bible tells us God granted him that which he requested. Everything verse 10 tells us, he was blessed from God. His coasts were enlarged. God's hand was upon him. He was kept from evil. And God granted him that which he requested. God answered the prayer. God answers prayers to fulfill the outworking of redemption. When God's going to work, he sets his people to pray. God has promised to answer, brother, sister. God has purchased by Christ's blood all the blessings we need, and Jabez receives them. God granted him that which he requested. Let me say something of why God blesses his people, his church. But let's take it personally. God never blesses anybody that they might look good. God blesses that we might do good and be good. That's why he blesses us. That we might go out into this world and do good to souls, do good to his church, and he blesses us that we might be good, watching and waiting at the portals of mercy. Very quickly as I close, dear unsaved, thank you for listening. Those who have watched that are still not in Christ, you say, "Preacher, there's nothing for me in this." Yes, there is. We looked at the very beginning where men began to call upon the name of the Lord. You need to begin to call. You need to pray, "Lord, bless me with salvation." You need to pray, "Lord, bring me into the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ. Bring me out of darkness into light. Bring me that I might find redemption through Christ's blood, even the forgiveness of sins." I say to you unsaved, wherever you're seated now watching this broadcast, I'm telling you on the authority of the book on this pulpit, God will save you now if you come. Repent, believe the gospel. You don't need to be in a church building. You sit there by your fire, wherever you're sitting, up in your room, and you know you're not right with God, you need to begin to seek him. There's action demanded. Call upon him while he may be found. Seek him. The blood of Christ will wash you.
the righteousness of Christ will cover you. And you'll be born from above. Backslider, pray, Lord, remember me. Strengthen me again. And dear brother and sister in Christ, take this great prayer. Make it your prayer. Lord, bless me. Lord, enlarge my coast. Lord, put your hand on me. Lord, keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And may God grant you and grant us all this request. And only eternity will tell what will happen when we get the blessing of God in a mighty way. May God write his word on every heart. Father, take your word, apply it in the homes that have heard it. Oh God, by the Spirit, apply the truth. Let all that's been of this preacher fall to the ground, for it's useless. But let all that's been of God live on and be used by God to the extension of Christ's kingdom. Hear your prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.